November 21st, and the topic this month is What a Wonderful World.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Well, we start that every week with that, and I hope it's sinking into everyone. I hope you're realizing that you are a god or a goddess. This week I wasn't feeling as well as I wanted to feel. And I was watching television and I heard that on Dr. Oz, Joel Osteen was going to be on. So I thought, well, I'll see what Joel Osteen has to say. He didn't have much to say, by the way. Oz did all the talking. I mean, he just got, well, you know, I thought, well, I don't know why they had him on. And it was about the power of prayer, which is absolutely true. There is always power in prayer. But here again, they were putting it outside of themselves and saying, of course, you're praying to a god, you're praying to something up there. And if I heard it correctly, Osteen said, well, I don't know how it works.
I don't know what?
I don't know how it works. He said it works sometimes, but he said, I never tell people not to get their medical advice and not to do this, which is absolutely all right also. Excuse me, the reason why I'm bringing that up is his church on Sundays has 6,000 people attend. 60,000. Inside that thing, I thought it was 60. Oh, my goodness, 60,000. I think he's quite good. His books are good. He is what I would consider a closeted metaphysician. He hasn't come out yet because he can't think past Christ, and he can't think past the Christian doctrine. But once he's able to do that, I think it's going to be, he's going to really zoom. But the thing is, we have 60,000 people attending a church that still believe that there's a God in heaven sitting around. So race mind in religion is rampant also. And what the world believes, most people believe. The world believes that there is a God somewhere. I absolutely believe there's a God somewhere, but I do not believe that God lived in heaven. I do not believe that God's an old man. And with this teaching, we are gods and goddesses, and we know that God is in, as, and through us, and all around us, that God is everything. And if we can get that message out to everyone, would we be able to fill an auditorium with 60,000 people? Just say, it's always going to be race mind. You're always, regardless of what, it's very hard not to become a puppet of your conditioning. Joel Osteen, although he's writing and he's doing it, is a puppet of his conditioning. The 60,000 people that show up there are puppets of their conditioning. Now, I'm not putting that down in any way, because he happens to be helping people. And he has a positive outlook on life. Absolutely positive. It's like Schuller has a positive outlook. His whole philosophy was possibility thinking. And that's what this all is, when we have to remember. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Because we're living in a field of total possibilities. Total possibilities. It is up to us to pick the right possibility. If we don't pick the right one, get rid of that one and find the right possibility. It's done with your mind. It's done with your choosing, with your thinking. It's not ordained by something called God. See what I'm saying? It's not ordained by that. I'm sure that the 60,000 that attend his services thing that is ordained by God, and they must also think that God shows favors, because he said some people get healed and some people do not get healed. If God can heal one person, God can heal all people, you see. So that's the only thing I wanted to bring up about that when I was at home enjoying. By the way, I made up my mind. I was had this cold, and I decided I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to treat it the way I always do. I'm just going to say, this is a wonderful experience, and I'm going to learn from this experience and see what my body is doing. Now, when I say those things, what I do is I don't go into anything saying it's going to stay, it's this, it's that, or another thing. I say one part of my existence right now is experiencing some difficulty. The rest is not experiencing that. So, the part that is working wonderfully well will take care of the difficulty that I'm going through at the present moment. But what we do when we come down with anything, we think that that is us, that this is happening, and it's the only thing that's happening in our life. It's not never the only thing that's happening in your life. And if you decide to enjoy it and say, here's an experience, I'm having this experience, I don't care what it is, if it's an accident, a cold, cancer, whatever it is, you're going through an experience, but it is not all of you. You see, we have many layers, many phases, and many parts of ourselves, and we just go to a higher level with that. We don't fall into that and say, it's over, you know. You raise yourself up in consciousness. I know perfectly well, at some level, I'm whole and complete and perfect. Now, did I sit around and punish myself for getting a cold and saying, Dallas, you're a practitioner and you know this teaching and you should never get this stuff? Absolutely not. I don't do that to myself. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's a cold, it's a condition, so why don't I enjoy it and see what this thing is all about and realize that my body, my mind, and my spirit are healing me right here and right now. That's all you do with those things. So, this reason why I bring that up is because this month we've been talking about this wonderful world we live in. And when we live in this wonderful world, we're living in a wonderful experience. This is a wonderful experience we're having. It's not going to stay. Everything that comes into existence to go out of existence. I know perfectly well that this cold or whatever this is that I'm experiencing, it's just in my life to go out of my life. It's here to show me something. What that is at the present moment, I have no idea. But I'm not going to get irritated about it. I'm going to sit and enjoy it and say that it's on its way out. And then I put my mind in another place and I see myself without this condition. I see myself without this condition. Now I have to move to that position where there's somewhere this cold does not exist. See? It's just existing right here in some part of me. But the rest of my consciousness is absolutely working perfectly. So I move to that. I move to that idea. I don't know if you know singers and so forth. Opera singers, I know, can come down with laryngitis and the whole works. But when it comes time to do the show, they put themselves someplace else and they go right over it. So you can sing above the laryngitis. You can sing above those things. So you have to know that there's many phases of yourself. Many phases of yourself. So one of the things that I do when I'm healing myself, I realize that for some reason, now we say in metaphysics that maybe a cold is confusion, that I'm confused about something, or that I've overdone myself in some way. I've extended myself too much. That could be true. It can, it whatever. You don't have to believe it, but you have to know that you're whole and you're complete and you're perfect, and it is not your whole life. It is not your whole life. There's many more things going on than that. And then I just sit back, watch it, observe it, and enjoy it. I don't. Years ago, I would have been angry, I would have been mad, I would have been upset, I couldn't go here, I missed this, I did that. No, I didn't get any of that. I just said, I'm going to enjoy this experience. This is a wonderful life I'm going through. And it's a wonderful life that I'm living, and a wonderful world that I'm living in. This is an experience, and I'm going to enjoy this experience. We think that the experience is unpleasant. Who told us that? It's just a little bit of an inconvenience, that's all. I would prefer not to have it. I don't like blowing my nose all the time. But thank God I'm able to blow my nose. So, if you're coming down with something, or you're in something, or you're feeling something with sickness and all, know that that is only one little facet of you. Don't allow it to take over your whole system or your whole life. It does not have to do that, but people, when they get sick, think, oh, this is it. It's not it. It's just a little phase that you're going through. The other part of you is always there. Now, here's what I do, and this is how I look at it. Somewhere along the line, I got off balance. And when I get off balance, I realize it's because I have moved from my center. My center here is total love. My center here is total love for myself. Somewhere I slipped and I went a little off course. Now I have a cold. So now what I do is I just sit and love myself back to center. I love myself back to center because it's in the center. When I do this, I don't know where the center is. I'm just doing it. I do this back to center because that's where I actually live. You see, and I just took a little side trip over here somewhere into some area that isn't good for me. Isn't good for me. So I just love myself back to center. And that's all life is about. If it's a physical, a mental, an emotional, anything that's bothering you, it's because you've allowed yourself to get off center. And you have to love yourself back to center. Easy and simple as that. So, right now, I am feeling absolutely wonderful. I'm breathing and the whole works. So, there you have it. Everyone, I talked to some two or three people and immediately said, oh, you better go to the doctor. I said, what's the doctor going to do? Absolutely nothing. Just sit and love yourself back to center. Your body will take care of it. This thing called God will take care of it. So, you have to know that God is always working for you. And I always remind myself, this is ridiculous. God can't get sick, so how could I? You see, it's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. So, love yourself back to center. Love yourself back to center. Andy, with that, would you say, I sizzle with life.
I sizzle with life.
Sizzle.
I sizzle with life.
I sizzle with life.
I sizzle with life.
I sizzle with life.
And I sizzle with life. And that's what you have to know, that you are sizzling with life. Now, what is that life that we're sizzling with? It's the life of God. It's the life of the universe. It's the only life there is. There is nothing outside of that. There's only one life in the universe, and that life is the life of God. And we are some expression of that. We are a manifest expression of this thing called God. So we have to be able to sizzle with this life. Most people do not do that. They think their life is their life. Your life is not your life. You did not create yourself. You did not create yourself. Something outside of you created that, but when it was creating that, you became one with it. You became one with it. So you're not separated from this thing called God or the universe or life or energy or intelligence or wisdom. You are one with it. And that is what we want to remember, that we're one with this. And we can sizzle with this life. And we can sizzle with this life of God. We can get excited. We can become enthusiastic about living. Most people are not enthusiastic about living. They think it's just a chore that they have to do. It's not a chore that you have to do. The whole idea in life is to realize that you get, G-E-T, you get to live. You get to sizzle. And that's the wonderful gift, and that's the wonderful life that you're living in this wonderful world that you are living in. So learn to see that, and learn to see the world as a wonderful place, regardless of all that stuff that's going on out there, all that stuff that looks like it's going on out there that the news media and everybody else wants to tell you. We're always going to have the doomers and gloomers around us. Let them do their thing. They've been doing it since day one, and they'll continue to do it. Just let them do it. I could care less about what they're doing. I care only what I am doing. And I care only what I am thinking. Am I thinking a right thought? Am I allowing only thoughts into my consciousness that heal me and bless me and prosper me? That is what makes your life. And you have that choice. All life is a choice. And when we say that, that doesn't mean a choice of who you marry and what job you have and all that. It means you are the one that is choosing the ideas, the thoughts that are going through your mind right here and right now. And if you don't like those thoughts, you can change them. And you're not punished ever from anything outside of you for having a thought. If you think that, you're punishing your own self. We only ever punish our own self. This thing called God does not punish. So, using your own mind, you choose the thought that you want to think. That is what this teaching, I've said this from day one. Most people pass right over that. Now, that's in the Science of Mind book by Ernest Holmes. The whole idea is to choose the thought that you want to think and to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That is passed over because most people don't want to know that. And in the Bible, when it says ye are God, that's passed over. And the other big thing in the Bible that's always passed over is you can do this and greater. You can do this and greater things. This was said by, supposedly, this man called Jesus. That is passed completely over in Christian churches because they say no, only Jesus was able to do these things. Only Jesus was able to do these things. Back a moment to Joel Goldstein. Well, whatever his name is. Sounds Jewish, doesn't it? Pardon?
Olstein.
Joel Olstein. Olstein? Oh my gosh. You people have me all mixed up. Anyway, he came on in one of his shows that I saw years ago, and he said, if Jesus was able to do these things hundreds of years ago, you are able to do them now. And this is true. This is true. So, if you consider yourself a god or a goddess and you're creating, you must know that you're creating your own life, and you must know that there is nothing in the universe against you. If you think that there's something against you, it is only your thinking. It's always your thought that is against you. Or, we can say, world thought, race mind, or the world itself, because the world teaches failure. It does not teach success. And you want to know that you are successful, and you're successful at all times. So, when we started this at the beginning of the month, I said, I love that saying, if life's not worth living, it may be the liver. And that's always going to be true. If you think your life is not worth living, you are causing that. You are the liver that's causing that. So, change your mind about your life. Change your mind about this world. It's all you have to do. Don't be like everybody else and take it for granted what some other generation thought, what some other generation told you, or what your parents told you. Just saying. You have to learn to think for yourself. You know, your parents did the very best they knew how to do, because they were also puppets of their conditioning, and they were spouting off usually what their parents taught them or what some institution that they went to told them. We have to learn to think for ourselves. We have to learn to think for ourselves. The other thing that most people think, that life is a terminal disease. Life is not a terminal disease. And people will say, but the only way we can get out of it is to die. Yes, but that does, the opposite of life is not death. The opposite of life is not death. There is no opposite to life. Life is life. It always will be. It always has been. So, one of these days, yes, we'll pass out of existence. As I said earlier, all things come into existence to go out of existence. All things, including you and I. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You will go on to a different experience, that's all. So learn to enjoy this experience now. How many people do you know who are waiting for a better experience to come along? And usually they think a better experience is going to come along when death occurs. They think, oh, the next life is going to be much better than this. I think that that is an absolute kick in the face to this thing called God. That you think that this God made this life, but there's a better life someplace else. This has to be the greatest moment, this has to be the greatest experience that you're having right here and right now. And you are the one that is causing that. You're always the cause under your own experience. What does that mean when you say, I'm the cause onto my own experience? Your thinking. It's your thinking that's causing the experience. If you don't like the experience you're having, change your thinking and the experience will change. The experience will change. The outside of life is fluid. It changes constantly. And it changes constantly because of thought from the inner. From the inner. It's always from the inner to the outer. So if you see, and I think that's a marvelous thing, a gift that we are given, that we look at something and we say, oh my goodness, must be my thinking causing that. I can change that. What if you didn't think that that was your thinking doing that? You had to live with it. You had to live with it. You see, the gift has already been given. When you see something that you don't like, it's because of your thinking. When you see people that you don't like, it's because of your thinking. You see, we don't see people the way they are, and we don't see the world the way it is. We see people and the world the way we are. The way we are. We make up our mind about people. And we say that person is this way, that way, blah, 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 whatever. And then that person takes that on. Because we, when we say something like that, we put a filter in front of our mind. Now we must look through that filter, and that filter will prove to us what we are thinking. What we are thinking. So use that in your life. If something is out there, one of the things to use it for is this idea of prosperity, or this idea of money, you see. If you think that money is scarce, if you think that money is unavailable to you and all, it's a filter that you have put in front of yourself. And then it proves itself. And you say, well, you see, I'm right. Take away the filter and see it differently and start thinking differently, and the whole thing will change. So I think that's a wonderful gift that we have been given. So I can change it. I'm not going to change anything that's in front of me. And I can change it by changing my thinking. And somebody that you don't like in life, start to think differently about them. Start to see other qualities in them, and the person will change. This kind of attitude has been proven, and this kind of reality that we can change reality and so forth has been proven many times. And one of the ways that has been proven, and Paul will probably back me up on this, there were many studies done about teachers and in teaching. And if the teacher had expectations for the student lived up to those expectations. But if the teacher said, oh, that class is never going to do anything, they come from the wrong thing, they're horrible people, this, that, and the other thing, they become that. Especially young, impressionable minds. I had a client who was a teacher. She got out of the teaching business because she said about the expectation, she said it wasn't so much in the classroom, but she said, well, I'd go to the teacher's lounge and hear the teachers complain of how bad the students were, how messed up they were, and yada, yada, yada. You see, that's then a thought atmosphere that the student lives in. You see, we're always presenting ourselves. It's our consciousness that's always showing, regardless. You can dress up, you can make yourself beautiful and everything. But if your consciousness is not right, it's the consciousness that's impressing the person. It's the consciousness. So, what is your expectation of somebody else? And what is your expectation of yourself? What is the expectation that you have for yourself? You see, you should always hold yourself what? In the highest of esteem. Because this thing called God holds you in the highest of esteem. So know that you're whole and you're complete and you're perfect. See? Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Now, I would like to, instead of replacing the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in school every morning, why don't we do and tell the students that they're worthy, deserving, and let them do the matter dance? I think it would change. It would change the whole system. It would change the whole world, you see. because they don't. Most people do not know that. And that's why they look out and they see the world and they don't like the world and they think there's something wrong with the world. The world is completely neutral, you know. The world is completely neutral. We're the ones who give it every color, shade, or whatever we want to do. We're the ones who do that. The world just stays the same. As they say, it just keeps spinning. Regardless of what's going on, the world just keeps going. And it will continue to do that. So, it's in your thinking always. It's in your mind what is going on. So, think about your own self. What do you think about yourself? See? What do you think always about yourself? Do you think that you live in a wonderful world? If you don't think you live in a wonderful world, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to have difficulty. And most people say, oh no, it's a rat race out there. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's this, it's that. You hear all these horrible things about the world. And if you think those things, they prove out every time. They have to. Why do they have to? Because it's a mental world we live in. We can never escape that idea that it's a mental world that we live in. And that it comes from our friend Emmett Fox. It's a mental world. And what did he say? If you wanted to teach children anything, teach them that it's a mental world that we live in, not a material world. Now, we're coming to a very, what's supposed to be joyous time of year. This is the holiday seasons are upon us. We're going to have Thanksgiving, and then we're going to have Christmas, and then we're going to have this thing called New Year's. And it is supposed to be wonderful. Very often, it is not what people want it to be. It does not live up to what it's supposed to be because people get material. And they think, oh, it's a material world we live in. But it's a mental world we live in. So, we rush out, we buy gifts, we want to shower people with gifts and this, that, and the other thing, and think that that is going to improve us or improve them. I have nothing wrong, see nothing wrong with giving gifts, and of course I love to receive gifts. But if they're not given in the right spirit and so forth, if you're just doing it because you have to keep up with the Joneses or because of this, that, and the other thing, they're not going to do anything to anybody. You see? Not going to do anything. So many people, you could at Christmas time, this is the worst time of the year because of the mental world we live in, more suicides occur during the holidays than at any other time of the year. Because people think that it's a material world, that they aren't getting enough, they don't have enough, and they're not enough. And during this holiday season, not only is this a wonderful world that we live in, you have to know that you have enough, you do enough, and you are enough. You are enough. You don't have to give to people. You don't have to give material things to people. You give them love. You give them a compliment. You give them a smile. These are the things that will form the hooks inside of them so that they can hold on to something. If you're showered with gifts all your life and you're never told that you belong, that you're loved, that you matter in any way, all the gifts in the world will not give. Help you. All the gifts in the world will not help you. You have to do this stuff for yourself. It's a do-it-yourself project. Life is a do-it-yourself project. You can do it. Don't be influenced by other people. Don't be influenced by the world. And certainly don't be influenced by what's going to now start, and it's already started. I watch it on television. stores opening at 4 o'clock in the morning and so forth, so you can rush in and buy all this stuff. And I'm not against stuff, by the way. I'm not against stuff. But you have to do your mental work, and you have to know that it's a mental world we live in. And this is a wonderful mental world that we live in at the present moment. This is a wonderful time to be alive. And I think it's going to just get more magnificent and more magnificent because of this thing called technology that we have. Where do you think all this technology comes from? It comes from the mind. It comes from a mental world. Then it manifests itself as the iPod or whatever they call all those different things. But you cannot think that because you have all that stuff, that is life. That is not life. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm delighted that all that stuff's there. But you live in your mind. You live in your mind. So what is going on inside of your mind? Are you seeing yourself as that magnificent person? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Are you remembering that you truly are a god or a goddess? That you are creating something of value? That this is wonderful? That you do matter? That your ideas matter? Why do your ideas matter? Because they go in to the mind, which we call the race mind. We can change race mind anytime we want. And we're doing that slowly. We are changing race mind. It is not the way it used to be. But we have to do that. We have to think the right thought. So think thoughts that only heal you and bless you and prosper you. And you know what those thoughts are. You know what those thoughts are. You know. And if you don't know what they are, start to think, what would heal me? What would bless me? Say. And then you'll see the world differently and you'll start to see yourself differently. And this other stuff, everything else will take care of itself. People are so concerned about this thing called money. Money is a wonderful thing to have. But what you're looking for is prosperity. And you're looking for abundance. Abundance in what? Abundance in thinking. Abundance in loving. Abundance in loving yourself. And that's where we get that idea also from this man called Jesus. I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And when he said that, he did not mean consumer goods and shopping malls. Had nothing to do with that. It had to do with abundant thinking. Abundant thinking about yourself. If you thought all day long of how wonderful you are, how marvelous you are, think of the change that it would do in your life. In your life. So hold yourself always in the highest of esteem. Know that you are a wonderful, wonderful human being. You are a wonderful spiritual being. You are having a wonderful experience called life. And that you're living in a wonderful world. In a wonderful world. I have some cards. This one I love. Of course, I love most of my cards. I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid and free. I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid and free. These are the things that you want from life. We generate the energy of mindfulness to illuminate everything that is happening in the present moment. We generate the energy of mindfulness. There are wonderful things going on. If you're mindful of them, you generate the energy to be able to see them and appreciate them the way they are or for what they are. You see, the beauty in the world, most people do not see the beauty in the world. I told you, at least, I think it was 30 years ago when I was, maybe 40 by now, I worked for a family on an Indian reservation, by the way, the Queen family. And they had tons of money. But the one lady, Reva was her name, she said, "Dallas, you must learn to smell the flowers along the way." And ever since then, that is what I try to do. I try to see all the little things. You know, they say God is in the details. In the little things that you do. People want something great big out of God. God is in the details. Every little thing that you do, you see. So, see that. Be mindful of what you're doing. If you're washing the dishes, be mindful that you're washing the dishes. It's a wonderful thing to do. And you get to do it instead of, "Oh God, I have to wash the dishes." Say to yourself, "Oh look, I get to wash the dishes. I get to go to work." A lot of people don't go to work. How many people do you know, "Oh my God, I gotta go to work. I just gotta get..." You get to do these things. You get to love. You get to love yourself. So, do that. Here's a good one. Your anger is yourself, and you should not be violent towards it. The same thing goes for all of your emotions. If you're having an emotion, enjoy the emotion. It's come for some reason. It's going to go out. We try to push it down. We can become violent with our emotions and so forth. I could have been very angry this week because of being sick, and I changed my mind and said, "No, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy it." I think I did less harm to my body that way and to all the cells in my body by saying, "I'm going to enjoy this experience. We're all here together. We're all working. And this thing which I have is coming into existence to go out of existence. So I'm not going to get all upset about this whole thing and angry." Years ago, I would have got furious. I'd have got furious because I don't like to be sick. All you have to do is learn how to transform your garbage into flowers. That means your anger. That means your emotions. That means everything. And where do we get that idea from? And we do that all the time. We know we're always changing garbage into flowers. If you have a compost, that's what a compost is. It's complete garbage, but it turns into flowers. Your mind and all the stuff that's going on in there at the present moment may seem like garbage to you, but you can transform that thinking, that garbage thinking, into flowers and allow that garden in your mind to bloom and bloom beautifully. See? Good idea. This one is for me. You don't need to judge. You see, we think we have to judge all the time. We don't need to judge. "Oh, I like that chair better than this chair. Oh, I like that better than this." We don't have to judge. Why, where did we come up with this idea that we have to judge? Why can't everything... Oh, you could use the word prefer. "I prefer that chair over this chair." But you don't judge it. "That chair is better than this chair. That person's better than this person." You don't do that. But we have been taught since day one to judge. To judge. And they say the only rightful judgment is the one coming from God, but that is not true either, because God does not judge. Remember, God does not judge. God just is. And everything is exactly one chair or the other. God's not preferring one thing over something else. But we, as human beings, think we have to judge everything. he was a good actor, but this one wasn't. Don't judge. This one is a wonderful one. I am a manifested miracle. Do you know that you're a manifested miracle? That this thing called God manifested you? That you are a miracle? That this body that you're living in is a miracle? That this world you're living in is a miracle? You should know that about yourself, that you are truly, truly a miracle. And start to see miracles around you all the time. Miracles are always happening, people. We just forget to look at them. We forget to see them. We forget to become mindful of that. Because most of the time we don't see the miracle because we don't think miracles exist on this world, in this world. If they do, they're very rare. And the reason why we think that they don't exist in this world is because we don't like the world we live in. We don't like the world we live in. You have to like this world. I hear people all the time putting this world down. You can't put this world down. You're living in it, for goodness sakes. You're living in it. Our appointment with life takes place in the present moment. Our appointment with life takes place in the present moment. This is the only moment you have. Don't let your mind think of the future. Don't let your mind think of the past. Your appointment with life is here. There's no life in the past. There's no life in the future. Your appointment with life is in this moment. In this moment. And all power is in the present moment. All power is in the present moment. Our ancestors are still alive in us, and we can call upon them anytime we like. Our ancestors, that means all the people that came before us. It means your immediate family, it means those people also, but it means all of the human race. It means all of mind is always present, all the wisdom in the world from day one is inside of us. And we can call upon that wisdom. We can call upon that intelligence. And we can see ourselves as whole and complete and perfect. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.